Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now, does a great job covering the Jets for the New York Post, and that's Brian Costello. Brian, how are you?
I'm good, Joe. How you doing?
I'm good. Where do we start? Let's start. We'll start with the quarterback who, I mean, look, it's one series. You don't want to get crazy. But, boy, outside, you know, now he probably should have got picked off by Jabril Peppers there on that first throw that he made when he tried to force it into Anunua. After that, I mean, the guy was unbelievable yesterday.
Yeah, like you said, he actually joked after the game, you know, referencing back to last year when he threw the pick six on his first play in Detroit.
Right.
And he said, I'm trying not to do that again. You know, he almost threw a pick six. But then, yeah, I mean, like you said, it's a small sample size, but adding this on to what I've seen in practice so far, where Sam has been really good most days in practice, you have to be encouraged. You have to be happy that, you know, he's getting the offense with Gase. And I thought the third down throw to Herndon just showed you a lot. You know, the Giants got some pressure. He steps up. He keeps his eyes downfield, and he finds Herndon, you know, leaking out there for the big gain. Later, he gets some pressure. He takes a step backwards and finds Jameson Crowder, you know, wide open. So, like, he's very good at extending plays, keeping his eyes downfield, and he doesn't panic like a lot of quarterbacks do and kind of throw the ball up there. So, you have to be really encouraged with the small sample size you saw last night.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. And also, you know, just, you know, even though, again, it's only one drive, but, you know, Crowder, what he was doing, you know, a couple catches and a touchdown, even Montgomery. I mean, even a guy like Ty Montgomery, you don't really think too much about him, but this guy could be a huge weapon for them.
Yeah, and this is what Gase envisions, you know, and no Le'Veon last night, but, you know, throw Le'Veon out there, Ty Montgomery out there, Chris Herndon, Jameson Crowder, right? Take those guys. They can kind of flood the middle of the field with those kinds of guys, and someone's going to be covered by a linebacker, right? You're not going to have DB that covers Robbie Anderson, Quincy Enunwa, and all those guys I just mentioned. So it's going to create mismatches, and that is what Gase wants to do with his offense. And I think one of the plays to Crowder last night was an example of that. You know, it's going to be hard for a linebacker to cover Le'Veon Bell or cover Ty Montgomery or cover Crowder or cover Herndon, and the Jets' offense should really flourish because of that. So that's something to keep an eye on. And they don't have that Odell Beckham, Julio Jones wide receiver out there, but they've got some good weapons. And it kind of gives Gase the ability to scheme up some things where the guys should be open.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, you know, again, you're only one series, so I don't want to get too crazy here with what's going on. But injuries, I want to throw this at you because I was surprised Anunwa played last night.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Anunwa, I mean, watching it Tuesday, I guess it was, they were doing one-on-one passing drills, and he burned Tremaine Johnson down the sideline, you know, beauty, and all of a sudden he throws the ball away immediately after he catches it, and he's grabbing his inner thigh, you know, and so you were like, okay, he pulled his groin, but he was fine, apparently. Gase said he was fine for the game, and he played the first series there, you don't have to worry about that. You know, Leonard Williams didn't play.
Right,
he's had a hip injury, so that's something to watch. Gase has kind of downplayed that so far, but who knows. The Marcus May injury I'd be a little worried about.
Yeah,
you know,
he's still on the pup list,
and Gase revealed the other day that this is a nerve injury, which we hadn't heard before. So, you know, that makes you wonder when he's going to be back. But, you know, then Winters, I guess, had a shoulder injury last night, but they weren't sure how severe it was because he would have come out of the game anyway after a series. So, you know, they ruled him out of the game, but he wasn't going to come back anyway. So we'll see how that serious that is when they get back on the field on Sunday.
Is Le'Veon Bell going to play at all in the preseason?
I think he is. You know, Gase kind of hinted last night that he will at some point. You know, I think they do want to shake the rust off for him after not sitting out last year, but I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of him. You know, to me, I'd be surprised if he was in for more than 15 snaps this whole preseason.
What about Ryan Khalil? Are you going to see him at some point in the preseason?
Yeah, that's a good question. He hasn't even been on the practice field yet, so he's a ways away. I would think maybe the third preseason game. I think they're going to want to have him get out there and build some chemistry with the line, with the rest of the offensive line. So I would think that third game against the Saints, maybe you see Khalil.
And now we saw Keenan. Now, it was very tough last night because I'm watching the game, and I just had this discussion with Carl, and I'm watching the game, and it was the Giant broadcast, and obviously, you know, it's a Giant bent on the game, which I understand, but this is the only place that a Jet fan can watch this game, and they weren't. Yeah. I mean, I didn't even know Keenan Williams made that tackle early in the game. What was he, number 95 is Williams?
95,
right?
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you didn't even know it was him. I'm like, I think this is Keenan Williams making a tackle. I think it's him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a tough thing. It's kind of an antiquated thing to me. You know what I mean? You have these things, the way TV was 20, 30 years ago is so much different now. We have so many options and so many ways to watch different things, and this feels like a weird thing where you can't get the Jets broadcast on TV.
Yep.
I guess it's always been that way, and I think it's an agreement basically between WCBS, WNBC, and the two teams. But it does feel like an odd thing in 2019 that you can't get the Jets broadcast. Now, you could listen on the radio, I guess.
It's not synced up, though. It's like
a delay. It's not synced up. You'd have to work on that. But, I noticed that earlier in the week. Actually, Ian Eagle was out of practice one day this week watching, and I saw you doing the game Thursday. He was like, no, it's a Giants broadcast.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, you know, that's going to make some people really unhappy. I can understand how frustrating that probably was for fans to watch the game like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I love Bob. Bob's a great announcer. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Bob, but, you know, there was and then I'm not even talking about the first unit, but like the backups, like a guy would make a tackle and he was not telling you who it was, or the guy would get burned in the secondary, and I don't know who this guy is.
It almost they almost could use like a spotter that would just tell them Jet stuff in their ear. You know, I don't expect Bob Papa to know the 90-man Jets roster, but they could use somebody in the booth to kind of help them out with spotting who makes tackles and stuff like that.
Yep. Now, the one guy that did stick out was Cashman, the linebacker. He forced that fumble that Louvu recovered by Paul Perkins, and he made some other plays. Apparently, and I'm not at camp, you know, but, you know, Ira tells me, because Ira's like, you know, Ira's like part of the team.
Yeah.
That Cashman has looked very good so far.
He looked good. You know, he can cover. That's something that's really stood out to me is, you know, a lot of times these inside linebackers can't cover anyone. He's got really good coverage skills. He's a good special teams player. I think they'd like to see him be a little more physical. I know that. So, you know, I think that's something he has to work on. He missed a tackle on the throw to the outside. I can't remember who the Giants player was. Just kind of a little swing pass. He missed the tackle. But he's been good, you know, especially fifth-round pick. You don't really expect much. But, you know, he's going to be on the team, and I think he's going to contribute this year. He's going to have a role definitely on special teams, and I wouldn't be shocked to see him getting in on defense at some point.
Now, needless to say, they need a kicker. I mean, Catanzaro, I mean, come on. I mean, I understand they had a penalty on after that first touchdown, but he misses two extra points. He did make the field goal, but he's shaky at best right now.
And it's been that way all camp. You know, that's the thing. If this was one performance, you know, like, okay, he misses kicks constantly in practice.
Right.
And, you know, Gase is kind of trying to spin it right now. Well, it might be the holder and the snapper. They have to get the operation right. But it's just been too consistent to me for that to be the problem. I don't know what's going on with Catanzaro. And he didn't have a good year last year. It still boggles my mind that the Jets let Jason Myers and Andre Roberts walk in free agency.
Especially Roberts to me.
Both of them. I mean, Myers got $5 million from the Seahawks, right? Guaranteed money. That's a lot of money for a kicker. I get it. But the Jets had $100 million to start with.
No, you're right.
You know, you couldn't just spend money. Like, you know how bad the Jets special teams have been in recent years. Last year, they were actually good.
Yep, they were the best unit on the field.
And then they let two guys walk who contributed to that. You know, it just didn't make any sense to me. It wasn't that much money. And especially Roberts was really not that much money.
Yeah, no, I couldn't believe that one. The guy was phenomenal, Roberts.
Yeah, and so now you're searching. You know, you're searching for a kick returner, you're searching for a punt returner, and now you're searching for a kicker.
Yeah.
To me, like, so it's a weird thing why McCagnan decided to nickel and dime on special teams this year.
Yeah, I don't get it. Again, we're talking to Brian Costello, talking to Jets with him. All right, this guy Dortch, is he going to be the kick returner, this guy?
Yeah, he's got an uphill battle, I think. The undrafted rookie from Wake Forest. He's been the punt returner. He hasn't done kicks.
Right.
They had Trent Cannon doing kicks last night.
He's terrible. He won't even make the team, Cannon.
Cannon?
Yeah.
I disagree with you. I think he's going to make the team. You know why? Watch him on punts as the gunner, Joe.
Oh, okay.
He makes every tackle.
Okay.
Right?
He doesn't do much else beside that if he's doing that.
No, but he's got some speed. If a coach designs some plays for him, they might be able to do something with him offensively. I remember last year, I think against the Vikings, they did it. They had a nice play design for him. You could do a little bit with him, but I think his special teams value, he'll stick. Dortch is going to be tough. You know, he's a real small guy. I'm curious to see if he can make it. He had a really nice return on one last night,
right,
and then he caught a touchdown toward the end. So,
right.
You know, he's got to fight for a roster spot, but he's got a shot.
You know, I'm watching the game, too, and I thought I was watching college football because there was two guys with number 40 out there. What was that? What is that?
Well, there's 90 players. So, you have double numbers.
I mean,
this time of year.
What? I thought I was watching, like, Alabama play
all
the
time. Yeah, they got 90 players. You know, you're going to have guys with double numbers. So, they have two 40s and two. They've got a few of them. They have double numbers that you got to watch.
Yeah. How about the cornerbacks now? What's going on with that?
They're thin, you know.
No,
I mean, I think that's the story. Right now, you know, they're looking for guys to kind of step up and make plays and make this team. But, you know, behind Tremaine Johnson, Darrell Roberts, and Brian Poole, they do not have anyone who really has any experience. You know, Derek Jones is a guy who played a little bit last year at the end of the season. Kyron Brown, he's the other number 40 playing cornerback.
Yeah,
he's an undrafted guy to Akron who's really – jumped up the depth chart and made some moves. And then Parry Nickerson is a draft pick from last year who got beat on the slant pass last night. That was a touchdown. I think Joe Douglas is going to be working the waiver wire nonstop with cornerbacks. I think you're going to see them come in and out of training camp. And then even beyond training camp, you know, with that cut down day, I think he's going to be looking at people, you know, and the ones – keep an eye on the Eagles because he knows that roster.
Right,
they have a lot of cornerbacks there, so I would think he's watching who gets cut loose there. They know the Ravens roster because they just hired Chad Alexander, who's, you know, one of his right-hand men just came from the Ravens, so they know that roster.
Right.
Well,
they signed that
there, and Rex
Hogan
came from the Colts.
They signed that offensive lineman. What's his name? Alex Lewis, I think his name is.
Yeah, they just traded for Alex Lewis, which had Chad Alexander's handprints on it, you know, because he knows Lewis. He watched him in practice every day. He's a guy who's, I thought these people in Baltimore showed a lot of potential, but just he's a guy who can't stay healthy.
Right.
You know, he's been hurt constantly. So, they need to see if they can keep him healthy.
And I think you said this. I know, like I said, Ira's out there. He's hanging out. You know, I think he's going to lunch later on today with Joe Douglas. I don't know. But maybe, I don't know if there's any truth to that rumor. But, I mean, do you see a complete difference in the way this thing is being handled now by the coaching staff?
Oh, yeah, it's a different staff. It's a much different coaching staff. I mean, I think, Joe, if you got to watch practice, I think you'd love Greg Williams even more than you already love him.
You don't have to say, I love Moretti. I don't have to see practice. I love him.
One of the things that it's always hard for fans, I think, you know, fans, a lot of us played high school football, right? And you remember the old style coaching.
Yep,
you know, they're
yep.
all over you. It's different in the NFL. They're adults. They're paid a lot of money. Coaches tend not to be all over these guys, screaming at them in practice. Greg Williams is all over these guys. He is an old school coach who, you know, he'll teach you a new vocabulary if you go out there. He is all over them, cursing up a storm, riding these guys hard, and I think fans would really appreciate seeing that. So it's a much different philosophy than the Todd Bowles, Casey Rogers. Those guys didn't yell at people.
Yeah.
You know, Todd occasionally on someone. Casey didn't yell at people. So this is a lot different in that regard. And even just in Gase, there's a lot more intensity to the practices. They do feel like the two of them, Gase and Williams, are competing every day to try to outdo each other.
Great. That's tremendous to hear. Now I want to go back to Leonard Williams for a second. Should we be concerned about this guy going forward with this injury?
Yeah, I mean, it's a concern. It definitely is. He's got this hip injury. You know, he was out the beginning of this week. We'll see how long it lasts for. But, yeah, I'd be a little concerned about it, watching it. I don't know how long he's been dealing with it. Gase said he kind of had been playing with it for a little while. So, you know, we'll see. I think you'll know more if he's back out there this week. And also, training camp, sometimes they take their time with these injuries. They don't rush them back. But it's something to watch for sure right now because he's a key piece of that defense for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And the other positive I thought was Trevor Siemian, who obviously is going to be the backup quarterback. And you know what? That's a pretty decent backup quarterback to have.
Yeah, you know what, Joe, too? I have not been impressed with him in practice. I didn't think he's had many good camp practices, but he really played well last night. I think he completed the first 11 passes.
Something like that, yeah.
And Gase kind of said afterwards, it's like, you know, some guys, it's just different when they get in the game at quarterback because now you can be hit. Like, practice is so weird with quarterbacks where they can't be hit. They kind of just stand in the pocket forever because they know no one's going to tackle them. Simeon kind of was moving his feet last night, taking off a little bit and rolling out and things like that. It was very impressive compared to what we've seen in practice. So, yeah, I think that'll help having him. And, you know, Joe Douglas, he's a guy, he knows the value of a backup quarterback better than anybody,
yeah,
right, coming
Nick
from
Foles.
The Eagles.
So
he's going to make sure that there's a good backup quarterback on this roster, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, hopefully we never see Simeon play. Unless,
exactly. You don't ever want to see him play. You want to see him play the next 3 weeks and then never again.
Well, or unless the Jets are up like 40-3 late in the game and you want to, you know, have him for mop-up duty, then it's okay. You know what I mean?
Can you imagine? When's the last time the Jets had mop-up duty?
Yeah, well, let's hope we see. Let's
it's
hope
been
we
a while.
See, let's hope we see some of that this year, like maybe starting with Buffalo week one. That would be nice. That would be nice, no doubt. All right, Brian, it's always a pleasure. And we'll start. What do we got? Atlanta this week in Atlanta?
Atlanta's on Thursday in Atlanta. So
they play the Saints at home. And then what's the last game? The Eagles again?
Last game's the Eagles, yep. Yeah. And so you'll have Ian Eagle and Anthony Becht and Peter Schrager on the call.
Peter Schrager
joined the broadcast Thursday night. So.
Yeah, Peter Schrager. I think he's also in the front office last I heard.
There you go.
Yeah, great. No Greg Buddle? What do you mean?
No Greg Buddle. I don't know if Buddle's doing pregame anymore or anything, but the booth is Ian, Anthony Becht, and Schrager.
Okay. What about great tight ends that we had?
Yes.
One of the all-time greats right up there with Mickey Shula. Anyway.
There you go.
Brian, always a pleasure. We'll talk,
all right,
we'll talk to you next week, all right?
All right,
2 weeks.
Have a good
weekend. I'm on vacation. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
All right.
All right.
Enjoy it.
Brian Costello with the Jet Stuff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.